12-Sided Stories is for mature audiences and often deals with topics that may be difficult for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
In the city of dreams, everyone wants to be a star, but at what cost? 12-Sided Stories presents Otherworld Hollywood.
My name is Wes Otis, and I am here with some wonderful people to play Otherworld Hollywood, episode number 4. This is our Call of Cthulhu actual play. Let us meet these wonderful people. Let us start with Candace.
Hello, everybody. My name is Candace. My pronouns are they, she, and I'm here playing Ebony Belafonte. Pronouns she, her.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and I am playing Belle Bellington, your local gossip columnist and bitch.
There you go. Let's go to our third, from what I'm told, not evil person, Sam.
You damn right I'm not evil. If anything, I'm the second nicest. Hello, I'm Sam Starr. I use she, they, and the occasional fae pronouns. Today I am playing Imani DeVoe, who uses she, her.
And one of the people who is fighting for the nicest place in number one slot, let's go to Mac.
Okay.
I'm just playing along with it.
Sure. Hey, y'all. I'm Mac, and I am playing Lenore Von Mori, who is also known as Cass Richardson and also known as The Vamp.
Hi, I'm Lev. I use they, them pronouns. And today I'll be playing Roberta Ravi Cerillos, who straight up told someone that they didn't like them. So I don't think they're in the running for nicest.
That was the nicest way to tell someone, because you followed it up by saying, I don't know if that's something I should say, but I'm going to say it. So that's I'm going to go on ahead and say that's accurate.
I said the soft part out loud.
Enjoying the show? Then take a moment to join our Patreon. Support the podcast and get early access to episodes and bonus content. Head to 12-Sided Stories Patreon today.
All right, so time for a little bit of a recap. Last time we got together, all of you had a shared dream of extreme violence, especially when it came to Cass and Belle, who actually fought each other. Each of you woke up. You haven't spoken yet about this shared experience. It definitely was pretty hard. So for those of you on the listening to the podcast, you don't get to see the lovely faces and gestures going between Mac and Michelle as I try to give a recap. Professionalism is dead. So,
and you killed it, Wes.
I killed it.
Yeah,
it's true. Absolutely. So Robbie ended up falling asleep at the studio, was woken up by the man who stands in the back and says nothing. And he said something. And it was basically, you shouldn't have other people's dreams. It's not good for you. Robbie responded with, I don't like you. I don't know if I should say that, but I don't like you. I'm paraphrasing, of course. But that was the gist. Anyway, Penelope, the studio manager, gave Robbie a rundown of what's actually happening. The fact that Danny doesn't own the studio. He owns it in theory, but it's a front for the mob. And that the man that never says anything, that stands in the back, is definitely there to make sure that the mob's interests are being taken care of. Then we had Rose and Imani having a wonderful time with each other after she was told that Rose had killed her husband so that they could be together. A romantic gesture by any metric. Imani had to explain to Trish, look, yeah, that was the neighbors. Oh, it was my voice? I don't know then. Have a good day at Lenny's. And Trish walked out, very confused and full of more questions, but just let it lie. Meanwhile, Evie went to sleep and woke up in what can only be called the most Hollywood of Hollywood mansion moments, just down feathering everywhere and a small Pomeranian named Buttercup. And she used the New Day rejuvenating lotion, and it didn't do anything. But then when she got to work, suddenly she looked much younger. And Jacques Couture saw her, and his reaction was immediate. He's like, we can't use you as the matronly character in this opus. We have to put you in the younger spot, and we'll have to find something new for Amane. And that's where we ended it last time. And also, just to mention, Henri is on board with marrying Cass, even though she beat him up because she was having a bad violent stream. All of you woke up with kind of bruises, but you haven't spoken to each other about your dreams yet, so you don't know that you've shared everything or that you shared the same dream. So that shall be fun to see what the reaction to that is. So that's where we're going to jump in. All of you have returned to the studio, including Belle, who is taking notes and has spotted Cass across the way. Cass has on black gloves that are hiding the bruises on her hands. Evie has shown up with a ray of light behind her, like a goddess, face perfect, as if no time had passed from her first movie to her last. And Jacques is standing next to her and says, so how do you want to handle this then? I can just go tell her, but how do you want to proceed?
It really is your job to direct people and let them know what's going on. But
it is.
I'd like to accompany you, if you don't mind. Maybe soften the blow a little bit. Is it possible that we could have maybe, you know, a tete-a-tete type role instead of just ousting our poor darling?
Oh, I like those words put together in a sentence. Let's go do that. That is perfect.
If anything, it'll be an upgrade for her.
I'm sure she'll see it that way. What is Amane doing?
I think Amane is kind of standing off over to the side. Clearly her mind is in like 50 different places right now, but she's still very present and kind of just off over in the corner, really, like not really talking to anyone, or looks like she doesn't know where to put her hands. She's not sure what she's supposed to be doing on the set or where she's supposed to be. So she's just kind of sitting there waiting for direction from someone.
Luckily, right then a director comes up and says, hello, Evie and I. And you look at Evie and you just, she's gorgeous and very young looking. Younger than maybe even you. And you don't know how the hell that is possible because you saw her yesterday.
Yeah.
And this is an amazing transformation.
Eyebrow is quirked and raised. She looks like she's going to ask a question, but she doesn't.
So, dear, we haven't had a good chance to talk about the upcoming production. Robbie is working on the first pages. We've gotten the first section of the script, and we're going to start running through them today because we have a very short time. My original thought was for you to play, let's see, nurse number 4. And Evie, because of her vast experience with stage presence, would be playing the lead role as the heroine of this particular opus. How does that sound?
Correct me if I misheard or if I was misunderstood. I thought I would be playing the lead role.
He looks over at you and says, Tat.
Listen, darling, these things, it's Hollywood politics, really. It's nothing I asked for. I came in today and suddenly was written into this other role. I did ask, though, if there could be something more substantial, a little bit meatier for you, so, you know, we can go head-to-head or, you know, compliment each other on screen instead of just ousting you, kicking you to the curb.
You know, that's a good point. I'm sorry. What we could do is Amane could be the older sister. I think we could work that out.
That's a wonderful first role. I know you're new here, and it would be lovely to have you in so many scenes with me. Surely you'll get so many more eyes on you and be able to flex your muscles, you know?
She looks a little deflated, but she gets it. She's new here, and she doesn't know how Hollywood works, so this is must be common. So she just kind of takes it in stride and, like, turns to Evie, this big, bright smile. Her face just lights up and is like, I think it would be an honor, personally.
Most people don't get to work with their heroes on their first project in any way, shape, or form. So I will do whatever it is that you ask of me.
And she like splits her attention and eye contact between Evie and the director.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being so understanding. Robbie, can you come here?
Yes. And they're like smoothing their hair back into just like a bun. And they've got like their fingers are ink stained. There's like a little bit of like a coffee drip that's dried on the corner of their mouth.
He just says writers and then goes, well, we're switching around casting.
What?
Evie is going to be our heroine now. And I need you to write a new character into the new pages. Just a few pages, nothing big. And if we could get them in like, I don't know, an hour and a half, that'd be great. She now has an older sister, which Imani's going
to
play.
They look nothing alike. Why do you keep trying to force this sibling family thing?
No one cares if they don't look alike.
I care if they don't look alike. I'm not going to write siblings that don't look similar.
How about best friends?
Anything.
Yeah, best friends. How about that?
Fine. That's fine.
All right. Calm down. It's okay. Did you have a bad night's sleep or something? You still have a pencil, like, imprint on your face.
That's normal. I have that all the time. No, I don't. That's a lie.
That was Sam and Imani both.
Well, yeah, if you could get us those pages, I'd love it.
Can I talk to the two of you just about what kind of a dynamic you have in real life and if we can try to start fostering that through the script since we're adding a whole new character to the... Yes, we'll add this.
That sounds great. I'm going to let you all do that. That's perfect. I have sets to look at. So thanks a lot, Robbie. Doing a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Go get him, Tiger. Bye. And he leaves.
Robbie, if that is your name.
Yes, I'm Robbie.
Very sorry. If it's too much work, I'll...
No. Play you're supposed nurse to be four. In this. You were already part of this. You're supposed to be in this. I hate when they change things around like this last minute. We had a plan, and now the plan is nothing because they've changed things because they don't give a... Okay. Yes, I'm very invested in you being a part of this as well as Miss Belafonte. You look different this morning.
Oh, yes, very well rested. I can't say the same for you, unfortunately, but...
No, incredible. That's what sleep does?
Yes. Hopefully tonight will be better.
It de-ages you? Because you were older yesterday.
Older?
Oh!
Evie, can you make a resolve check? I'm kidding.
Imani's eyes are wide. Like...
55 on 55.
I was kidding, but awesome.
Like, no lie. The dice are like...
You're about to get your ass beat.
Ebony looks at you and kind of like tips the hat that she's wearing up so that you can see her full face and you get like the full power and glory of like the beauty. But there's also a very, very cold kind of silence behind her eyes when she looks at you. And she has a big smile on her face that does not match that. And she's like,
oh, yes. Well, age is nothing but a number. Am I right, Robbie, darling?
That's technically true.
Hopefully no one will tell you that you're past your prime writing this movie.
Well,
it seems that you're doing quite a good job, though. If you would like, you can make me the villain. I'm happy to...
No, the entire point is that you take your power back from the people who tried to take it away, like, that tried to take things away from you. That's kind of the entire point. I think people who are older are very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I think wrinkles mean that you've experienced life.
Oh, do you see wrinkles? She gets close to you.
You feel a dragon's breath on your neck.
Yes, you do.
I just want to point out that Imani's eyes are like saucers. Yes. Right now.
Robbie is the same.
Like Puss in Boots, like big, monstrous, dilated eyes, just like tight-lipped, like, and, like, they're, like, her eyes are bouncing back and forth between the two of you like a tennis match. Just like...
Robbie's cheeks just like flush and like not currently, no. You've always been.
Yes.
So pretty? What? You're so pretty.
I have never been more uncomfortable in my whole life.
Did you know you're so pretty too? Wow, everyone here is so pretty. And Robbie's gonna take like 3 steps back and like pull their notebook up almost to their nose.
As if they're not there.
So please tell me about the relationship that you forged in these last 2 days and how I might translate that to the screen.
Well, I'll say I have a great, great respect for Miss Belafonte and her talents.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up watching her and I wanted to be just like her. And I'm extremely blessed and honored to even have an opportunity to work with my hero.
Yes, I think that you could say that I am experienced. I think that was the word you were looking for, Robbie.
I mean, yes, I don't take back my descriptors from earlier, but experienced is another good one.
Would anyone like tea?
I can help you go get some. And she, like, looks over at you, Imani, with a bright, radiant smile. Eyes sunny, like nothing ever happened. Turns and is perfectly fine.
That makes me feel so much better. Ooh.
And just, like, loops her arm through yours and just walks away from Robbie. Leaves Robbie standing there. As we're kind of moving toward the craft table, Ebony just kind of starts to chatter at you.
Oh, you know, it's so lovely meeting you and being able to be so close with you. It really, I mean, you give me so much life, honestly. You have such a respect for your craft and a respect for the arts. And if you need anything at all, I'm here to smooth your transition to Hollywood as best I can.
That means everything and then some, Miss Belafonte. Thank you. Genuinely.
Tell me all about yourself. For starters, where did you learn to be such a good sport? That's good acting back there. I know it can't be easy. Being in this position.
And she like pauses for a second and audibly gulps a couple of times, trying to figure out what to say before she goes,
well, let's just say I have, while not professionally in any way, shape, or form, I do have a keen ability to mask what is necessary for life, success, and survival.
She stops dead in her tracks and takes her hand and puts it just under your chin and like kind of tilts your face up to look at her.
Eyes wide, rapidly blinking.
A good liar. We will get along just fine, honey.
Nice. Let us jump over to Cass. You turn around and you lock eyes with Belle, who is staring at you intently. What do you do?
I'm just gonna nod my head in acknowledgement and wait for Belle to make the next move, because I'm assuming that she's going to come and try and collect on my promise to give her a juicier story anyway. But I'm in no way, shape, or form going to just go over there and vomit it up to her.
All right. Michelle, what does Belle do?
Oh, Belle starts walking over.
It's like the Red Sea parts as people in the studio just kind of move away from you and you make it over. What do you say?
Good morning.
Is it?
Sleep well?
That's an odd thing to ask.
You suddenly get a flash of punching her in the face. And Belle, you suddenly get a flash of being hit in the face.
And, you know, I just say, oh, I just had a rough night of it and thought I'd ask.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I hate to think that you have things keeping you up at night.
I'm sure you do. So, I think we have some business to transact.
Why don't you follow me to my dressing room?
All right. I follow her.
You walk into the dressing room. How do you proceed, Cass?
So, I turn and kind of offer a seat to Belle, but I stay half sitting on the vanity ready station in my dressing room, trying to cut more of an imposing figure.
And Belle relaxes back in her seat to show she's not intimidated.
I have a very large story for you, and one that will, I think, satisfy your needs and will be a little more long-term than you would get from your other attempts at a story.
Go on.
How about an engagement and the wedding of the century?
Oh, I like it.
You will have the updates of where to be, when to be, and the rest is on you. But that's what I'm offering.
I'll take it. I'll take it. Consider the photos buried.
And consider my discussion with you done.
All right, then. Any details now, day?
Don't worry, you'll get them.
All right. Well, thank you. I'd like to say it's been a pleasure doing business with you, but it's been doing business with you. And I walk out.
Can you make a resolve check for me, Cass?
Uh-oh. Not my highest number here. I got a 2.
Oh, excellent.
Ooh.
Fuck you. I'm very resolved.
You're able to keep yourself from running across the trailer and tackling her on the way out. So. All right. Something during that whole conversation didn't sit right with either of you. Not the obvious thing, but you kept getting little flashes of the fight.
Yeah. I think Belle was just glad to get out of the dressing room. She was uncomfortable.
Good.
But not for those reasons.
Still good.
A few moments later, there's a knock on the door of your dressing room, Cass, and it's Danny. And he goes, hey, you decent, can I come in?
Yeah, come on in.
So I saw the Wicked Witch leave. What's going on? She showed me the photos, I know.
Oh, did she now?
Yep.
Well, I gave her a story to bury those photos.
Great. So here's the deal. Your show has been doing well, and CBS wants to pick it up and put it as their Saturday night midnight show starting in about 2 weeks.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah. They contacted me last night and wanted to see if we could work out a deal. It's a big step for you. It's a big step for this studio. So we have to keep her off our trail.
No kidding. Well, I promised something very large, and you will know all about it very soon.
Okay. Well, keep your nose clean, and you're going to be to a national audience in no time. All right?
Thank you, Danny.
Of course. Got to go see if Robbie's doing whatever Robbie does.
Being scattered, from what I've noted, but they're trying.
Writers are writers, right? He goes, all right, I'll go talk with them. Shuts the door behind him.
I think Cass kind of slumps into the chair in there for a while after that.
Yeah. Belle, what are you going to do now?
Well, I'm going to go talk to Evie because it's very obvious that she's done something. So.
Okay. So you make your way across the room and she's by the craft service table chuckling about something when you arrive.
Hello, Evie.
Oh, Belle.
You're looking radiant today.
Oh, thank you, darling. I appreciate it. What could you possibly want coming over here with compliments?
Well, of course, I'm curious as to how. I mean, you're glowing, dear, and if I didn't know any better, I'd say you were pregnant.
Pregnant, please. Nothing could live inside me.
I know, you're far too old for that. So I'm just wondering, what's your new beauty regimen?
Oh, well, you know, I've been working for such a long time, as you infer. And I've been sleepless, so many sleepless nights, just wasting away, trying to carve out a place for myself in Hollywood. But now I'm, you know, more experienced, seasoned, if you will. And I got 10 hours last night, and it shows, doesn't it? Radiant, some have said. Glowing, even. I'm flattered.
Mm-hmm.
You should try it sometime. Take a little bit of the edge off that you have building up from all of your exploits.
Oh, I don't need sleep. Not really. I'm not on screen.
Aren't you, though? I see you everywhere.
Well, scintillating conversation as always. I'm going to find out, you know that.
Please do. Maybe I can bottle it, sell it for profit.
And I walk away.
To anyone standing nearby, Ebony looks pleased as punch.
That would be Imane.
I am Sam, personally, the player, is sitting over here. Like, I love watching them two drag each other. This is chef's kiss for me. I love it. Bella's forever trying this shit. I love it.
Awesome. During all of this, Amani, you walk away from that whole interaction, kind of taking in the studio, and Danny walks up to you and goes, hey, you all right? You got your bearings, kid?
I have my bearings about just as much as I need to. Where would you like me?
Well, in my office to have a conversation. How about that?
All right, lead the way.
You walk into his office. It's got papers stacked up everywhere and just tons of stuff. And he sits down and just says, please take a seat. So I'm going to talk to you about something. The reason that we're able to keep the lights on. You are an attractive woman, and I feel that you would work well with our night shoots. It's a lot more money than what you're going to make on your day-to-day here. And we can make it so no one knows who you are. But these pictures are not legal.
Not legal? What? I mean, like, are you making snuff films or something?
Oh, God, no. Snuff films. What the? Those don't exist. That's an urban legend. No one does that. God, I hope they don't do that. Ugh.
Oh, I surely hope not.
No, we're just doing pictures of girls spanking each other and up in leather and stuff like that. It's $300 per shoot.
Excuse me, how much?
$300. It's a lot of money because it's dangerous.
Oh.
It's illegal. I mean, fuck the Hays Codes.
I think that's nothing but a bunch of prude Protestant bullshit, personally.
Correct.
That's just my own personal opinion.
Well, if you like to be tied up and that sort of thing, this is the right place for you. And like I said, we can obscure your face so that, you know, it doesn't damage your day career.
And Imani kind of sits back at it and here's like tied up and spanked and is like,
I could probably get with that. All right. Well, if you can promise me that my face and my, you know, my career outside won't be affected. I don't see why not. I could use the money anyway. And some acting work is better than none, I think, personally.
Yes, absolutely. Now, I have to stress this very, very hard. Do not tell anyone what you're doing. If they ask you where you're getting the money, you're getting paid really well at Cut'em Films, and I will back you up on it. Don't flaunt the money around in front of the other actors, and please, for the love of God, don't let Belle or Evie know, okay? Because Belle will eat you alive. I think she eats people. That's what I'm saying.
In like the good way or the bad way?
Bad way. We're talking bad way.
Oh, not good okay. Way. That's not fun nor pleasurable.
No.
I'm all right with Belle. Belle is an interesting character, but I think I'd like to keep my everything away from her. I've met some people like that back home, and they are nuisances, to say the least. But I feel like, wouldn't Evie want to, like, if she's supposed to be taking me up under her wing, I kind of feel bad at just, like, not telling her. But if it's for the betterment, I guess.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know Evie very well. I've only met her recently, like you. She could be genuine, but there are people in this industry who are not what they seem. And so you need to be careful. You make the decision, though, whether or not you tell her. But you have to live with that decision if things go wrong. That's all I'm saying.
That's fair enough. Thank you for giving me that to consider. I think for the time being now, I'll just keep my mouth shut.
Till you get the lay of the land. Yeah, makes sense to me. All right, well, that was it. Tonight, you can work if you want. Vivian is the person who runs the shoots. She will help you out. I told her you might be coming by.
What time should I be here on set?
We usually start pretty late, like 12. If Jacques gets everything done on time, sometimes it goes a little later, though. So you're going to have to balance your sleep somehow.
Do you need extra hands?
Doing?
On set in general, like...
Oh, we'll put you to...
Well, no, I'm not speaking in reference to me. I clearly know I have a job. I'm right. Talking about others, like a assistant or something.
We can always use gophers and different people that need to work. It's not great pay, but if people want to try to get their foot in the door, you know?
Duly noted.
We're like a bus stop. You're either coming or going.
Danny, I appreciate your vote of confidence in relation to this, and if I happen to come across anybody that I think would like a job, I would let you know. Or was it Vicky?
Vivian.
Victoria? Vivian.
Yeah.
All right, well.
For the night stuff, let Vivian know what's going on. She's in control of all of that. I just facilitate a facility. And If you have trouble during the day and need some help, let me know. Have you gotten an agent yet, kid?
I'm sorry, I didn't...
Get an agent.
Not yet. I don't
look
really
into
have...
it. Get an agent. You need somebody.
Don't you need money for that?
If they're asking for money up front...
That's not a good one.
No. The way it works is they have an interview with you. If they think you're marketable, they'll go out and get you a job. Then they take a piece of whatever you make off that job.
Do you know anybody that's looking for talent?
Let me look into that and I'll let you know, okay?
I appreciate it. Once again, Danny, thank you very much for the opportunity, genuinely.
No problem. Have a good one.
All right. You as well. Be blessed. And she'll turn and walk out the door.
Danny's like, what the hell? Robbie, you're working frantically on these papers. Tell us how that is going.
Robbie's found like a happy medium that they can work with the best friend aspect, but like they don't have a lot of experience having a best friend. So the dialogue is very like almost stilted. And so they're reading it and they're like, that's not how people talk. And they'll crumble it up and throw it away. And they'll start writing again. All right, we can keep that word. That one needs to go away. And like is talking to themselves, like wandering around the craft table with like a carrot stick in their mouth, like a cigar.
Every once in a while, you look around and you see the man standing in the back, smoking a cigarette, not moving, and watching everything that everybody is doing. Just a little bit off-putting.
In the times that they're not trying to scribble down any kind of remnants of words, I think they're kind of watching him and who he's watching. Can I kind of get like a read on who he's most interested in, I guess?
He's watching Belle pretty closely.
Interesting. I think Robbie jots a little note on her arm up underneath one of the sleeves, like pushes a sleeve up and writes that he's watching Belle and then shoves it back down probably before the ink is dry. So it may not even be legible later.
Okay, cool.
And just kind of keeps going.
All right. So that all happens. You all have this rehearsal time. Lunch is called and you all end up at tables near each other eating lunch over across the street at Lenny's. And at Lenny's, the normal person who is there, a waitress named Amber, older, probably mid-40s, has been around for a while at this particular location, wanted to be an actress. It never panned out. And she just started working at Lenny's. She knows all your names. She knows what you usually get. And she sees you come in. She's all like, oh, do we have a new movie happening?
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Oh, okay. And there's some new faces, too. I know Evie from just the screen. Who are you, dear?
I'm Amani DeVoe. Pleasure to make your acquaintance. You might be? She puts her hand out.
I'm Amber and shakes her hand.
Pleasure to meet you.
What can I get the two of you for lunch?
If I could just have a tuna melt and a black coffee, that would be perfect. Thank you.
All right. Absolutely. Evie, it's an honor to meet you. What would you like? I know it's a diner, but I'll get you whatever I can.
Iceberg salad, please, and a glass of sweet tea.
Okay, all right, I'll do that right away. She scurries off to get everybody's stuff. And Belle comes in behind all of you, and Amber comes back out and goes, Belle, I'm sorry, Miss Bellington, it's such an honor to meet you. Your columns are always so interesting. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, dear, and thank you. Nice to meet you, too.
Are you covering something new, or...?
Oh, you know me. I have to keep it very quiet until I actually publish, but you know I'm always on to something.
Oh, and right then, the rest of you get this flash of the dream that happened the night before when you hear Belle's voice waft through the Lenny's. And it is an uncomfortable feeling.
I imagine the foods come out and my knife and fork kind of squeak against the plate real hard.
And then, you know, she says, well, what can I get for you?
Oh, you know, something light. I'll just have some tea and I don't know what they would have eaten in the 50s.
That's why I said tuna melt.
Every jello with things encased in it.
Ambrosia salad.
I hate
it. Aspic.
Aspic.
That's why.
What's the special for today?
We've got country fried steak with hash browns, and I believe it's sausage today.
Well, let's have let me go ahead and have a salad with a side of toast.
Okay. She goes off to get that. And you all are sitting around each other. Who's sitting next to who?
Robbie's sitting probably as close to Evie and Imani as they can, just like trying to watch their dynamic, and is still kind of glancing over at Belle every now and then. I don't know how much Lenore is on their radar. I think they're just kind of like zoned in on the two that they're supposed to be riding hard for right now.
What's Lenore doing?
I think Lenore is kind of sitting a little off to the side, kind of going through the pages of the script still and, you know, eating and reading at the same time.
Okay. Candace and Sam, where are you all sitting?
I'd say we're probably at a booth.
Yeah. I think, if anything, Amani's probably in that spot in between Robbie and Evie, just like eyes wide, trying not to make eye contact with Belle.
I think that she would probably try to get Imani alone, or as alone as you can be. I mean, we're all eating in the same place, but like off to the side, because she wants to talk to her.
Okay, so you feel Robbie's, I'm going to say, exuberance near you.
But desperation.
Desperation by Calvin Klein. Just a few feet away at the like the counter, but you guys are in a booth. And you also feel Belle kind of just on a perch eating carrion. What do you want to talk to about? You know they're near, but they're not in the booth with you.
I think seeing Belle there, like hovering, Ebony kind of flexes and straightens her back and tilts her chin up so that she has a very kind of regal and poised kind of look, and then looks meaningfully at Imani and like nods her head like, do like me, and then reaches out with a gloved hand because she's at lunch and puts her hand on Imani's.
I know you're new, you're very green, but you're already quite good. You've made such a splash. I don't know if anyone's told you that Hollywood is like a shark tank. People eat each other alive here. It's wonderful and also very terrible. Don't trust anyone. Not just yet. Make them earn it. Because even if they earn it, we all have our secrets. Like that one.
She, like, does a sidelong glance over at Belle.
I don't care how much she butters you up. She is not to be trusted. And you know what? Maybe I'm not either, but definitely not that one.
Imani just, like, nods her head frantically and, like, tries her best to, like, mimic your poise.
I'm gonna do all I can to be here for you. If I can, I will do. But this is also a bit of a competition. Not one that you readily sign up for. Just one you're thrown into. You saw what happened today. I didn't ask for that, believe it or not.
I don't want there to be a competition. I know my place.
I was like you once. Eager, ready to serve, ready to fit in. You'll lose it eventually. Take our Von Mori over there. Beautiful woman. You think she falls in line? I think it's an act.
Well, I don't know Miss Lenore that well, but from what I do know, she's very much to herself. We haven't had much conversations outside of our first meeting.
Exactly. You know almost nothing about her. One of the most famous starlets. In high demand, despite any age or experience. Fantastic. I'll tell you a little secret.
So I should try to be more like her?
I think we should all try to be a little bit more like her. I know she's got something under the surface. Can't quite figure out what it is. It drives me crazy. It's so satisfying. It probably drives Belle even more crazy.
Amani's eyes drag over low, like, subtly over Lenore, taking in her posture, how she sits, how she acts, what she says.
Lenore, what are you doing?
Lenore always looks very polished, but is also being very kind with, like, the wait staff that's coming over. And, like you said, seems very focused on the script. Seems very much, like, there for the job more than anything else. And if she turns and sees Imani looking, she'll give sort of, like, a little smile and a nod, you know, of, like, acknowledgement, but just nothing to one way or another.
Very comfortable in who she is, basically. Awesome.
Yeah.
I think if we make eye contact, Imani like startled a bit and then like does her hardest to like try to act like she was looking elsewhere instead of being caught staring directly at you.
And Lenore kind of probably clocks this and just kind of gives a little bit of like a chuckle, like a, you know, silent kind of bob of laughter. But you can tell that it's well meant. She's not laughing at you. She's used to the situation.
All right. Belle, you pick up on this interaction. You kind of see this weird dynamic of Robbie constantly scribbling, not really eating a lot, and Imani and Evie posturing for you. And then, of course, Lenore over on the side, kind of effortlessly being Lenore or herself. And you look at Lenore and you think about how much you fucking hate her. There is just something that wells up in you. And this feeling that all of you have been getting of anger and violence, it seems foreign. It does not seem normal to any of you, but it's there and it's making your hair on the back of your neck stand up. It's an outside force that seems to be tugging at you and making you angry. Right then, the door opens and it's Danny. And he says, Robbie, I got a message from your landlord. There's some problem at your apartment. You need to go over there.
What? No, I...
Just be back in 30 minutes, all right? Take your sandwich or whatever the hell that is and get back here as quick as you can.
Okay, I have the first 17 pages for you.
That's fine. Just go deal with your stuff and we'll talk when you come back.
Miss Villafonte, Miss Duvo, I have papers for you. I have script pages for you. I'm not terribly married to the dialogue. You are more of the speakers than I am, so please take what I've written as a kind of basis for where the story lives and elevate it to whatever a friendship might look like between the two of you. Miss Van Mori, same for you. I know you're not until later, but I wanted to give everyone kind of that freedom because I clearly don't speak interpersonally terribly well, but story-wise, this is the base. You can. I need to go. This is the base. You can. Bye. And Robbie has like half of a grilled cheese in their mouth and like a literal handful of French fries and runs out.
My kingdom for Robbie.
As you run out, Penelope is talking with Danny and she yells over to you, Robbie, I'll drive you over there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're so kind.
It'll be faster than the bus.
Oh, thank you so much.
I awkwardly offer her a French fry from my clenched fist.
She takes it and eats it. She's thank you. I haven't had a chance to eat yet. Let's go. You show up at your apartment and it's one of these apartments where when you open the door, there's just a stairway straight up. There are two apartments on the lower end and then two apartments on the top. You're on the top. And you notice that there is water all over the floor, all the way down. And your landlady is standing there. And she goes, I'm sorry, I had to go into the apartment. There was an emergency. And we don't know if it was a broke pipe or what, but there's a lot of water going on upstairs. You need to go take a look. And there was some damage done.
Okay, thank you. Is my fish okay?
I did not see a fish.
Okay, well, okay. Maybe she's hiding.
And Robbie's gonna like kind of like readjust the braces on their legs because they realized they didn't have a chance to like take them off and relax last night. So their legs are like really like stiff and uncomfortable from having been in these braces. So they're gonna kind of like adjust and try and like loosen up the hinges a little bit and then like pull themselves up the stairs into the apartment and push their way in.
So Penelope's right behind you and you open up the door. And there's water all over the floor. It looks like it came up to about 3 feet. And it smells like salt water. And there are water footprints all over the floor. And that's where we're going to end this episode.
Wait.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. That's where we're ending this one.
So. Wait, what?
Yeah.
What?
Belle might be evil, but I'm worse. So we're
I'm unionizing against the GM.
Yeah. <We're saying> no. I want more information, please.
Or no. No.
When do we go on strike?
That's next week.
Right now. Right now. Before the pre-show.
Walk
you
out.
Give us more. We're clocking out and we're not clocking back in until our demands
put
are met.
Your cigarette out on Wes's desk.
I'm dropping it in his coffee.
That's it.
Lit.
Oh, I love it. But anyway, so thank you all so much. I had a good time. I hope you all had a good time. Let us find out where all these wonderful people are at. Let's start with Mac.
Hey, y'all. I have been and will continue to be Mac Beauvais. You can find me online as at Strange Like That. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, website, threads, places, things, people, stuff. Yeah.
Hello, I'm Candace. You can find me at that Candace Girl on Twitter for however long. And you can find me at Candace Marie on Blue Sky, at Candace the Magnificent everywhere else. I am on 12 Sided Stories, obviously. I am also over at What We Do in the Shallows every other Saturday on Matihi's channel. And you can find me at assorted other places around the internet.
Hello, hello, hello. I am Sam Starr. Tonight I played Amani DeVoe. Sweet girl. And me, you can find me all over the interwebs at Lust for Life X. You can find me everywhere there. Why? Because I have been scooping up my screen name on different sites like they are Infinity Stones. So with that being said, keep up with me when I actually am on Twitter or X or whatever the fuck that little muskrat decided that he was going to call that raggedy place. But yeah, you could find me there. But more specifically, you can see me every Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Transplanar RPG's Twitch channel, where I am a main cast member for their second main campaign, The Chaos Protocol. And you can see me get up to all types of messy shit there, too.
Hey, I'm Lev. You can find me on Twitter until it dies at LegoM2, the number 2RS. I haven't done any of the other socials because emotionally that's a lot of work and I don't have that emotional bandwidth right now. But eventually, maybe I'll be on them. You can hear me over at Mayday Roleplay. We play some Delta Green. We play some Vampire. We play some Orpheus. We play all kinds of weird shit, and it's great. Or at Crossroads, because I won't leave Carrie alone. And also, maybe in a video game or two, if you keep an ear out for a little guy's voice. That's it.
I think that's awesome. That's great. Of course, you're probably on an NDA, so you can't tell us what that video game is. But
yeah.
Oxenfree's
the one I can talk about. Oxenfree 2 is the one I can talk about. Other ones, not so much.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and you can find me on the socials at Michulhu. That's M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U. You can also find my music and Wes's amazing sound effects if you subscribe to the Plate Mail Games catalog through BattleBards.
And I am Wes Otis. You can find me at Plate Mail Games right now on Twitter and Threads. If you want to help out the podcast, definitely check us out over on Patreon or Ko-fi, or give us a review or give us a shout out. And if you want to talk with us and ask us questions or anything like that, join our Discord. We are there. We have a website, which is 12sidestories.com, where you can find all the links to all the things that are us. So hopefully we will have you come back next time to listen to more and find out where this cliffhanger leads that Sam was so angry about, but that I'm still going to do. So see you next time. Bye.
You don't love or respect me, Wes.
I'm going to totally leave that in, too.
You absolutely need to.